So with the Bose Hypnotic Suggestion Protocol, you now have a very basic formula for getting action out of someone. But what if this is not enough? What if there's something in the way that interferes with things? You see, sometimes the actions that you want to suggest to people can be inhibited by all kinds of other conditions, which have to be overcome before the actual behavior trying to motivate can actually take place. Now, one of the key things you can do to augment the power of your post-hypnotic suggestions is to use the access state principle. Remember, the access state principle says that whenever you're in a particular state or mood, you're more likely to affect the actions and behaviors that come out of it. So if you don't change someone's behavior, if you change their mood first, their behavior will tend to follow naturally. Think about it this way. Let's imagine that you want to motivate your housemate or flatmate to go to the gym. Now, when that person is full of energy and enthusiastic, that's an easy thing to do. You just tweak the motivation and off they go. On the other hand, when they're feeling down or lethargic or without energy, it becomes an uphill struggle. Why is that? Well, because the state is in the wrong place. The wrong state for the behavior you want is in place. So in order to motivate someone, you also have to start paying attention to what mood are those people in. And when you get the mood right, you'll start seeing that the behaviors that come out of it will be very simple to induce. Now let's talk a little bit about motivation at this point, because a lot of people, particularly in the motivational field, will tell you just got to get someone excited and positive and all will work well. And to a certain extent, there is truth in that. But really, there are two primary types of motivation that people respond to. There is towards pleasure, and then there's away from pain, towards and away from. I like to call these the carrot and the stick, because as much like motivating a donkey, you both have to hang a carrot in front of its head for it to follow, and you have to use a stick to hit at its rump if it's slowing down too much. Now, every human being that you meet will have a unique combination of carrot and stick that motivates that person. To a certain extent, everyone is motivated by a little bit of both. The question is, which one of the two will motivate them more? You see, someone who's very away from motivated, who needs a stick, you could paint them pictures of castles, you can offer them money, you can offer them all kinds of things which they will genuinely desire and want, but they won't be motivated to do something. Their action will not change, because the state that drives the specific behavior you need from them is something that can only be acquired through the stick. And vice versa. Some people, no matter what threats you give them, no matter how tough the situation seems to be, will not move a muscle until they start seeing the benefits, the carrot that's dangled in front of them. Most people sit somewhere in the whole spectrum in between the two, so they'll need a little bit of both. It's just a question of which one do you emphasize the most. So when you come to the Camilla formula, which we'll be introducing right now, is a way of using that motivation in order to create a very specific action from someone. So how do you do this? Camilla stands for C for captivate attention. The O is for outflank resistance. The M stands for mood, in other words, how you affect someone's mood. The I stands for intensifying that mood. The L stands for linking it to some new idea or new behavior pattern. And A stands for action. You must release whatever that you're doing in some kind of action. So let's look at those in more detail for a moment. The C, captivate attention. That's something that you've become hopefully very familiar with by now. This is one of the bedrocks of conversational hypnosis. If you don't have people's attention, you can't do trance processes in the way that we've been covering here. In order to use conversational hypnosis, as we've created the patterns here, you must captivate someone's attention and able to direct it into whatever outcomes that you want. This is the simplest, easiest, and most direct way of influencing other people. The next step, again, is not much rocket science. It's outflanking someone's resistance. Again, we spent the better part of the last 10 CDs in teaching you how to outflank that resistance, to bypass the critical factor, to stop the interference that's going on here. Now, this is critical, by the way, when it comes to using, for example, the post-hypnotic suggestion protocol, because one of the things that can happen is that people start having excuses for why they don't do it. in our example here. If someone doesn't want to go to the gym, that is the resistance that they're offering you, all the reasons, all the excuses. So those reasons and excuses are embedded within that critical thinking, so that any ideas that you present that are new will be rejected automatically. To bypass that, you must just bypass the filters by confusion, by outflanking, by overloading, by whatever one of the different methods that we've already covered so far. The interesting bit comes in the next stage, the M, the mood. Again, this is something you should be familiar with, because on CD5 with emotional triggers, you learned all about how to create certain states of mind inside other people. You even had a simple formula on how to use that to motivate some action. Here we're going to go into that in more depth. So in other words, when you take that mood, you're going to take it into one of two directions. The carrot or the stick. Remember, some people require a kind of pain before they'll be motivated to do anything. Others will require some measure of pleasure before they get motivated to do something. And it's up to you to notice which one people respond to the most. Once you've discovered whether they are motivated more by pleasure or by pain, the carrot or the stick, the next question to ask yourself about the mood is, what kind of state is going to be ideal in order to generate this behavior, this kind of action? Thinking back to the gym example, let's say that they are motivated by pain, but they still need to have something more before they'll go to the gym. In other words, they need to have some kind of more excited or more energetic state before they'll go. So my big question, for example, being fed up. Fed up has more energy in it than to have, for example, depressed or lethargic. So whilst both might be unpleasant, the one that's more likely to motivate the behavior of going to the gym is going to be one which is more high energy and with some away from than a low energy one. So you have to decide those two things when designing the state. Number one, is it going to be carrot or the stick? Number two, what type of state is most likely to produce this behavior? When you put the two together, you'll have the perfect state in order to engender the behavior you want to have from that person. Now you can move on to the next step, which is the I, intensify. Whatever states you have, the more you intensify them, the more likely it is that you'll get the behavior that you want. So sometimes you may have to loop through a few times before you'll have the right blend of states, the right intensity of states. Again, you can go back to CD5 on emotional triggers to find out how to do that or refresh your memory. The next step, the L, link it. Until you can link something to something else, the state itself will only have power whilst you're there to motivate them with it. So the idea of linking it is you must link it to some kind of trigger points so that it can happen independently of you. So you can leave the room, leave the house, leave the country, leave the state, and the behavior will still be there. Finally, you come to A, to action. Now this is a very important step in the process. First of all, you've got to make sure that you release the behavior. In other words, it's not good just suggesting it, creating the perfect state, and knowing the direction it goes in, and all that sort of stuff. If you don't have a trigger point, that gets everything going. Things have to have a start button that gets things moving. So the action phase is very, very important. And the biggest mistake people make when they do this is that they choose the wrong action to begin the sequence of behaviors. Remember, you've used your post-hypnotic suggestions and your states to implant the whole behavior chain already. Now, the biggest mistake people make when they try and create action is they go straight for the big payoff. They go straight for the big motherload. Now, think of it this way. Let's say you want to motivate your flatmate or roommate or housemate to wash the dishes. Now, if you look at the sink full of dirty dishes, that becomes too much. It's an overwhelm. So they're not likely to do it. Now, let's say you get some excitement into them, more likely to do it. But now suddenly they look over the dishes and that might overwhelm them all over again. So the behavior you may have asked for might be too large to overcome the inertia. Imagine the following scene. You've just woken up, you're still sleepy and barely being able to stand up on your own, when someone suddenly asks you to sprint at full pace down the road. Can you do it? Do you want to do it? Hell no. Why? Because your body hasn't woken up yet. Before you can sprint at the maximum ability, you're going to have to wake up properly, maybe have a cup of coffee, then have a little stretch, then maybe jog around a few times to get your blood going. And once you've done the warm-ups, then maybe you'll do the actual sprinting. So notice that your action, the sprinting, there is a whole process that happens to warm you up and prepare you for the pinnacle of that behavior. In the same way with the washing up or any other kind of behavior. You have to have some kind of process that leads up to it in order for the actual thing itself to take place, the main event. Now the beautiful thing is that most behaviors, for example the washing up again, are a chain. There are natural chains so that when you begin one part of the behavior, the whole chain runs until it's completed. So the secret to action is to ask for the smallest step that leads someone in the direction that will release or generate the whole behavior that you want to have happen. In the case of washing up, it might be something as simple as getting them to just simply take one plate and put it to the side and add another plate on top of it. Then add another plate on top of that. Maybe organize the plates in a nice way. Maybe change the washing up water. Do you notice how these are all small steps that they can take? And it's not that big a deal. It's a beginning, it's a middle, and an end that they can conceptualize as being very quick and easy to do. And because of that, they don't overload. Now, by the time they've done this, they'll have warmed up. They've got into the rhythm. So doing all the washing up suddenly becomes no bigger deal. And of course, because of the post-hypnotic suggestions and the access state principle that you've already embedded earlier on, they're likely to run the whole chain that you've set up for them because you've released it with a very simple part of the action. So be very, very specific that when you come to the A part of the formula, when you finish whatever influencing steps that you want to take, you release it with a very simple action which moves it in the direction of the behavior you want, so you release the chain in a very natural sort of way. Now, on the next track, we're going to show you the Camilla formula in action. I'm going to run you through a whole process, and here's a scenario that we've chosen for this. This is taken straight from one of my coaching sessions with a senior manager at a large firm of accountants and auditors. This man had a problem with one of his employees who was going through one of the financial examinations. The junior accountant was panicking, he hadn't done enough revision, and I thought it was going to fail his exams. Now put yourself into his shoes. How would you then motivate this poor panic-stricken young accountant to actually sit down, get into the right state to do some learning, and to learn all those vast number of things that he's been putting off all this time? Think about it carefully. How would you use the Camilla formula to get an outcome? Now once you think you have an answer, then listen to the next track and you'll hear one way that you can use the Camilla formula to inspire this person to start studying and actually take that exam. Now the only thing I'll tell you in advance is that this person loved to ski. So skiing could be a good resource that you might use within the Camilla formula to motivate action. So think about that for a little while and then move on to the next track.